104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with a big story of the day.
Big story of the day is it's day two of Broncos mandatory minicamp. Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac today. Not necessarily, though, because his voice. He's got something to do, Tommy.
Another Roby day. They're just stacking Roby days.
Can you go back-to-back Roby days?
Well, Bradley Roby didn't. But man, this is ongoing. This is the big story of the day. How many Roby days? And what was D-Mac's what was D-Mac's hot take when Bradley Roby did not show for work? What was his take back then?
Ooh. We can probably find that.
How harsh was he?
I'm sure he was very harsh on Bradley Roby.
Right.
Taking those Roby days. But this was actually scheduled. I've known about this day for a month.
Regardless, it's a Roby day.
It's still a Roby day. Okay. He's watching his son play baseball at Coors Field.
Roby day.
That's cool.
Still awesome.
Roby day or no, that's cool. That's awesome.
That's cool.
That is. Okay, so D-Mac's off. I'm in. We're talking Broncos mandatory minicamp. And day two was won by the defense. Like yesterday, it seemed like the offense was doing a little bit more.
What's the score?
What's 1-1 if we're scoring days?
Well, what's the score today? The defense won.
The defense won.
It's like a college spring game.
Right. Right. You just look, we just want to see how these guys look. I thought.
Did orange or blue win?
I'm not sure.
What's the D wearing? Are they in white or blue? Or?
I thought they were in white today. I have some pictures. But the defense seemed to be sharper today, and the offense not as much. I don't know. What are we seeing? What are we looking at in mandatory minicamp?
Depends on the day and what the offense is trying to accomplish, what the defense has put in. Were there blitz periods? Was there red zone, short yardage, different situations that Joe Flacco alluded to yesterday in the press conference, how they're going over a situational football a lot more, not just once, you know, once through OTAs, but many times through OTAs. So whatever the accomplishment, it could have been, the offense could have been put in situations where, and you could tell me, you know, 3rd and 15, let's just try to get it to 4th and 5 and improve field position. You know, we're not trying to get a first down in this thing. So there's so many different scenarios as to what they're trying to accomplish with these last few days before training camp. But you'd think at this point they'd be trying to, you know, everything's in and they're trying to apply that to real game situations.
Saw a lot of game situations out there, and you saw Todd Davis back out on the field. So I don't know if it's just him alone.
He had the greatest excuse to, but you're saying there's a drop-off between yesterday and today because Todd Davis wasn't there. He is a captain or a former, he was a captain last year.
I don't know,
year.
But that's the only difference. I mean, we're outside today rather than inside yesterday. So I'm like, what was the difference? Was it, is Todd Davis that important? Because he had a little pick six thing. He like ripped it away from Devontae Jackson and then ran it for what would have been a score. Like, is Todd Davis alone like that important to make the defense get the win today, whereas the offense seemed to win yesterday?
No, it could have been that the offense got the play-calling script second yesterday, because they sometimes do that where the defense will basically take the entire practice and write down what defense they're going to run on this situation throughout the whole practice. Then the offense gets to get the script after that and sees what they're going to run and gets to write in their perfect plays. And today could have been the day where the defense got to do that. They used to do that all the time. Every defensive offensive coordinator throughout training camp, OTAs, and mini camps throughout Mike Shanahan's tenure was that's how practices were run. So every day it was clear to the media watching practice that the defense or offense had the upper hand throughout the entire practice. Now, you go to 2-minute, things like that, where you go off script, it's completely different.
Right.
But, and I'd be so angry because I didn't realize it when I was younger, but as I got older, I realized this is how practice was scripted, where the defense or the offense got the script first, write down their plays, and the other side gets to write down how to defend or attack.
Would you know that before practice even began? Like going into practice, we're going to lose today.
If we were just gashing the defense one day, I knew the next practice that afternoon that we were going to get butts handed to us because the defense was going to be calling all their plays to stop every play. Like Mike Myers was one of the Broncos that the Broncos signed in the mid-2000s. And
which coach? Patterson, who you called?
Egg with legs.
Egg with legs.
Yes. I did not coin that term.
Okay.
But it was an apt description of his body type was just a nice, soft.
He's like a pear shape.
Egg. But it was more eggy. There wasn't a pear kind of has a little like this shoulders kind of.
Uh-huh, right.
He didn't have them. He just was like an egg. Nice.
It was just
and
like
smooth. And then shoot two little legs at the bottom. Egg with legs.
But Coach, there would egg be, with legs in the
there
Broncos.
There would be times where Mike Myers to me was impossible to block because he used to cock nose like a tilt at the nose guard position. So basically, he's not only a shade, but he's also a two technique because he's in both. He's in the gap. And when we got the plays last, he was easy to block because we'd always run away from that. But if we wrote down the plays first, the defense would put him to the side of the play, and I'd have to try to hook him or reach him or, you know, base block him, depending on if it was inside or outside zone.
Yeah.
And he would just basically just run straight up field and just completely, because the way to stop this offense and our offense back in the 90s and 2000s was penetration. Front side penetration will kill this offense all day long. So that's what the defense would do, whether it was Greg Robinson or Larry Coyer or whoever, Slowick, whoever the D coordinator was at the time, they knew this. So they would get our plays and go, oh, I'm just going to create penetration. And it would just crush us in 9-on-7.
So then how do you counter that? Because if
we
all
counter
know
it
that,
the next day.
Well, then
in reality,
how do these guys do that?
In reality, to counter the bad plays,
no,
you should
to counter
have the
penetration. Like, you know, and teams know, defenses know. Like,
yeah, but they don't know where the play's going.
Oh,
so if you fly upfield as a three technique and you're backside of the play, you're basically taking yourself out of the play.
You're creating a
However,
huge hole.
If you guess that I'm going to fly, I'm just going to hit this gap as hard as I can and push whoever, Ron Leary or Dalton Risner, whoever that guard is at the point of attack, if I can, and it's going to create this Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, they're going to be almost like their track is all messed up now because they have the read of that three technique is to either he plays out, so I cut it back, or he gets hooked, so I bounce it. And if he's just coming straight back at me, I'm done. And that was the beauty of Terrell Davis, is what he could muster a yard or two in those situations. But yeah, it's hard to gauge winning and losing. It's more of how it's done. I mean, if there's lots of interceptions and stuff, that's not a good look for the offense. But it's just well defense plays. You could say, well, the D just, you know, played well today, and it wasn't so much the offense playing poorly.
Okay, we're waiting for Coach Fangio. I believe we might even hear from Philip Lindsay today. Your guy, my guy, everybody's guy with the Denver Broncos. So we've got those press conferences coming up at UCL Training Center. We're waiting for those, and also waiting to find out when we're going to see more Drew Lock with the second team. That and more next.
We interrupt to take you live to Dove Valley for this Broncos press conference.
What's your overall satisfaction with the whole season program?
I think the offseason has been really good, really productive from every angle. I think the guys have done a good job learning our systems. I think they've put forth great effort. They've done a good job practicing. I got no complaints about the offseason.
They have a mistake. How resilient have they been? Is it something you guys have coached for? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, they need to be resilient. It's okay to make a mistake or two. It's not okay to repeat it. And it's not okay to let it drag into the next play. And these guys have been playing sports for a long time, quarterback besides that, and you know, they have to learn that.
In your experience, what are habits that allow successful teams to transition from the offseason program and have fast starts at training?
Well, that's on the players. You know, they got a 5-week break here coming up, and you know, the first couple weeks we'll have the rookies here. They'll continue to work with our coaches, the strength coaches, but it's on the players for the next 5 weeks while they're wherever they spend this time to get in, maintain what they've done, the foundation they've laid, and get themselves in the best possible condition.
Dick, when you talk about the tweaks that you guys are making, I guess with everything being new,
Is it all installed, or are you still trying to see what some things work or some things won't work as you're trying to go through? Where do you find that balance as you're putting everything in?
It's both, but it's more install than, and we're learning our players as we go. You know, I kind of like to expose the players to a lot this time of year. So by the, hopefully by the middle of training camp, we figure out what we're going to be, you know, and rather than give them something new late in training camp and have to learn it. So we expose them to a lot, and then we figure out what type of team we're going to be offensively and defensively and go that route.
So does anything get thrown out now that you say this won't work with this group, or is everything still?
I don't think so. Everything's still on the table.
Talked to you yet since Greek was named Mr. Bowens presenter from the Hall of Fame. You talked to him about that at all, and you thought what that week
would
be like?
Yeah, that's a great honor for Greek. You know, he was here for all the years with Mr. Bowen, knows him well. I think still sees him occasionally. So it was a very deserving, made sense for him to do it, and I'm glad the family decided that.
Even with Phillip Lindsay being limited at this point in camp, what have you sort of learned about him through your process of being in this building now long enough and just getting to know him?
Well, I think, again, I haven't seen him on the field, but I think he's a very intense competitor, wants to do well, has his priorities in order. I think he's already can be classified as a good pro, even though it's his second year, and that's probably why he had the very good rookie season. So everything that I've learned about him is all good.
Is there heightened precaution with his wrist at this point, or do you just treat him like any other player who's got an injury that they got to get healthy from?
No, it's not heightened. It's a particular injury that they tell me, you know, they everything's going well. They just don't want it to get bumped on yet. So he could go out there and do everything, but they just want to use this time and the next 5 weeks to make sure he's ready to go.
Coach Rivera took a long look at Bertolli today. I mean, is there competition at kicking? How are you looking at that? How's he looking?
Well, there's a lot of competition out here, but I would say Brandon's obviously the incumbent, and he'd have to knock him out, like in a heavyweight battle.
Would you prefer to have more of a bell cow style back, or do you like the hot hand approach?
Both. To me, that's whatever your team is. You know, John Madden used to say if you've got more than two running backs, that means you don't have one you like. But, you know, it's kind of been common now for teams to have different style backs playing multiple backs. So, again, I think that's whatever fits you and fits your team.
How do you think Bradley Chubb fits into what you want to do defensively, and how does he take the next step to being an elite player?
Well, he's tailor-made for us, and I think he'll take the next step just because he's a pro, much like Phillip already, and he's very smart football player, very coachable, very intense. I see nothing but bright days ahead for him.
Do you believe players take their biggest step from year one to year two?
Possibly. It all depends on the work they've put in the off season. But you can.
Did you guys evaluate him much last year as you were considering where to go and what you see from him?
Yes. I mean, Bradley?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was high on our wish list last year.
With Phil, is the expectation that he'll be ready to go by the start of the camp? Or?
Yes.
Who gave you better advice, Peyton or Archie today?
To Peyton or Archie? Well, I've known them both since 1986, so... Archie's the old sage, so uncommon belief out there, he's the best quarterback in that family. You know, if he, with the Pittsburgh Steelers back when he played instead of Bradshaw, if him and Bradshaw switched spots, Archie would have had all those Super Bowl rings, and Bradshaw would have had to go through the agony of playing with the Saints in the 70s.
Anything else? Thank you very much, Coach.
All right.
And there's Coach Vic Fangio wrapping up his press conference today, talking about Archie Manning. But the comment that stands out to me?
Just a hodgepodge of questions all over the place.
Some good ones, though.
Did you like Bradley Chubb coming out of the draft? Were you guys assessing him in Chicago? And then Archie Manning and Phillip Lindsay.
Bell cow or
Hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or both.
Yeah. And he says, whatever fits. But I love when he said Bradley Chubb is tailor-made for us. Tailor-made for us. Mm-hmm. What are the chances Chubb has more sacks than Vaughn? Because I think they're pretty good. Here's Rich Scangarello at the podium.
I think every day we're getting better, and it's, you know, we're finding out a little bit about the players, what they can do, kind of knowledge-wise, what they can handle, and skill-wise, what they're capable of, and it's our job to kind of bring that all together here at the end so we have some focus going into training camp.
You just talked a lot about how you've been okay with them making a mistake, but not the same mistake twice. What's your approach to with like him and
Pouncey
learned?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's my approach with any player. You know, nobody's perfect, and you only know what you know. And again, I've said this many times, I think he's playing the hardest position on the planet in any sport, and it's just, it takes time, and you're going to make mistakes. So you got to bank that rep, you got to learn from it, and then you got to try not to go back into those types of mistakes in that territory and keep moving forward. Joe's been, he's been great. Like, we're excited about just everything he brings. I mean, he's a veteran. He's a great student in the room. He's competitive. He's savvy, and he is a elite arm talent, and he's just got feel for the game, and I'm just, excited to work with him, and we'll see where we can take it.
Coach Mangio said the expectations that Phil Lindsay will be back for training camp for you guys in next phase here. What are you hoping to see out of him once he's back in healthy?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great assets of the organization. I mean, to have a talented player, obviously what he did on film last year, we hope to only, you know, help him continue to grow as a player. And he's just one of the more dynamic players in this league. And excited to get to work with him. And kind of, you know, the great part is we kind of know the people around us, what they're capable of. And he's a guy that we know he's capable of a lot. But, again, we're going to want him to do the things he can do best. So that'll be the fun part of training camp when we get him rolling.
Coordinator, sometimes with personnel, you get to thinking that way all the time. Do you have the pieces that give you an advantage in one personnel or another that you've liked over the years here in Denver?
Well, that's the exciting part of these OTAs is finding out kind of what we're made of in each room and to be able to, again, come back in August and late July with a focus to kind of where we want to head into the season with the guys we have. And I think we're very fortunate that we have a number of rooms, that we have a very dynamic group of players. And I think that they'll provide us a lot of opportunity to be creative and put guys in a position to be successful a lot of different ways. I think that, you know, again, I think it's very difficult. Receivers in the NFL, I think the transition period takes a little bit of time, and especially coming from SMU, a spread system, kind of his background, I think Zach Azani's done an amazing job developing him, being creative with how he's taught him, brought him along very fast. I think he's gaining confidence. I think you combine a good football IQ, a good work ethic, a good guy with some talent. You know, the sky's the limit, so we'll see where we can take it.
How's he coming along?
He's doing great. You know, again, he was an unknown. No film on him. It's hard to see what you're going to have before you get here. But he's done a great job, like a lot of guys we're excited about. You know, he works very hard at it. He's got the right attitude. He's competitive, and he's versatile, you know. And so we'll see where that takes him. But we're excited to have him. He's doing a good job.
How do you go about working with a receiver group where nobody has really a whole lot of experience that's out there? Obviously, Emmanuel's here, but he's not working with you guys day in, day out. When you look at how young the group is, what's it like teaching just a group that's so young?
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't look at it that way so much. I agree the NFL experience, they're green in that respect with a lot of reps. But the one thing, and until the bullets are flying and they're live, there's a lot of unknown, there's no doubt. The groups that has been assembled here and what the organization has brought together are guys that are smart, instinctive football players. And I think when you have that, it can accelerate the process. And I think that we're fortunate to have a group of guys like that. I think so far it's minimized mental mistakes and it's allowed us to go at a fast pace.
It's smarter than the average kind of young guys that you've been with?
Yeah, I just feel, I mean, it's hard to, you know, compare to everybody, but I just know that when you're talking about their youth, I just think they're fast learners, they're instinctive, players, and they have a good feel for the game. I think that that makes it an easier transition.
Time for a few more guys.
Has there been any adjustment for you getting back in the rhythm of calling plays, or is it a little different in practice when you've got the script?
It's been fun. It's exciting. I mean, the one great part about Vic's plan and what it's exciting to be a part of is he is on the details of situational football. And he's going to force the players, the coaches, into uncomfortable situations that remind them of game day. And with that comes the task of thinking fast and putting guys in position to make plays and them having to think on their own on the field. We've done a lot of that in this OTAs, much more than I thought you could ever get done, probably. And I'm really excited about it, and the guys have embraced it, and I think it's made us a better team.
What would a consistently healthy Ron Leary mean for this offensive line defense?
You know, it's been nice having him back out there last week. He's, he's a veteran in the league, and I really think that he's a very good scheme fit. His personality's been great in the room. I know Mike Munchak has enjoyed having him in there, and I think that, I think he's a good fit to balance out the youth, and I think that if he's healthy, he can have a great year, and we're excited to have him.
Did Peyton drop a play for you today?
No, he did not, but he was great. He was very kind to spend time with us and out there last time he was here and today. And it's just great to have someone of his caliber that's been in the organization, that's loyal to the organization, to be around, to sponge any of it up as a coach or a player. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. So, just glad to have him here, and it's been a pleasure. And the more he's around, the better.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thanks,
sir. There's Coach Rich Scangarello, Broncos offensive coordinator out at UCL Training Center, waiting for Ed Donatell next. No one's ever going to say, like, nah, I don't want Peyton here. I always love that question. Like, how was it with Peyton here today? Awful.
Oh, did he draw up a play for you? I think it was the question.
That was the question. And, right.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready for Peyton's offense quite yet. We're a little too early in the infancy of this offense. We're not ready for that yet.
Here's Broncos defensive coordinator Ed Donatell.
Last week, and he's picking up the system great, and just a great addition to have him out there.
How helpful can it be to you to have three guys, him, Callahan, and Jackson, that all have versatility in terms of where they play?
Yeah, we think it's a great advantage to have Bryce and Callahan and K-Jack. They've played the nickel spot. They played the corner spot. You can move them around. We can keep people guessing. And it gives a lot of flexibility if we ever need to give somebody a rest or somebody goes down.
How much from Bradley Chubb from last year, the beginning of this offseason?
Yeah, I really can't answer where he was specifically last year. But, you know, I know that guys like him with his character and his work ethic, they usually spike in year two. And he's just a heck of a talent, and he works hard every day. So you should see really good play from him. Yes, you know, the edge players are very important to this 3-4 defense that Vic and I have been running at least for the last 8 years. And you need guys that can compress the edge, and then you need people that can rush the passer, and he can do both of those, and he's very forceful in doing that. So we're happy to have him. We think he can be very productive in that role.
What's your kind of initial evaluation of Stuart Cravens and kind of the role he might play in this defense?
Yeah, you know, he's just like all the other DBs. You know, the biggest thing right now is to learn the system and then to improve your technique. And now we'll take it into camp, put the pads on, see where that goes.
In terms of his day-by-day enthusiasm, just his approach to the game, are you impressed with just how he's kind of attacked the process?
Yeah, he's been good. He's been good, and he brings good energy. So I'm really pleased with the whole group.
We can't get out tomorrow. What are your expectations? What do you tell these guys you expect when they come back for training camp?
Yeah, that's important. There's probably two pieces. You know, Vic has challenged these guys physically and mentally, and from the conditioning standpoint, we've challenged them and pushed them hard. And we want them to continue that in the next 5 weeks and come back here better. And then we also want them to take on their individual side. We want them to go home or wherever they're training and improve their technique. And everybody improve 2%, and that'll help our team.
You've been around Vic a lot. What's it like? Is it the same or different, him in this head coaching role for this offseason that you've seen out on the field? Is it a little similarities or differences in weight?
Yeah, really everything is a similarity. He really has never changed very much in 8 years. And sure, there's some differences with his role and responsibilities as a coach, but it's just like I thought it would be when he took over as a head coach. You know, he's really into the game management part of it and the details and the little things, and that's showing up in our football team.
So Joe told us yesterday that the offense maybe scored a touchdown and it was the end of the period, and this was a previous practice, and Vic wanted you to run it back so that the defense could get another shot at him. And does he need to be reminded that he's also the head coach of the offense now, so when they win, it's a good thing?
I think he'll have to catch himself every once in a while, but he knows. He knows that, you know, it's Vic Fangio, win-loss record, and that's what we're after, and we're all doing it together. We're all Broncos.
Coach, with the flexibility on the backside that you're talking about, because those guys can play different spots, but obviously their football IQ is a part of that as well. They seem like guys that it may make it easier on you because of what they understand.
Yes, they will make it easier on us. And, again, we have a comprehensive defense. And we're going to throw a lot at them. As much as they can handle, we're going to do, and that'll make it harder on the offenses in the league. So it's good to have those people that have NFL experience, and they look like they work well with each other, and that's very much a plus.
How much of that do you watch this coming year, how they work together?
It's everything. You know, connection, coach to player, player to player, very important. And that'll have that's a big indicator on how things will come out.
Okay, thank you,
Coach. Thanks,
guys. And there's Ed Donatel, Broncos defensive coordinator out at Dove Valley. Lots of things to get to. And what Coach said, Coach Gangarello said, and Coach Donatel said, we do that next on The Fan.
We interrupt to take you live to Dove Valley for this Broncos press conference.
Ron Leary at the podium now at Dove Valley.
Right. I had a great season at Wright, my first year here. So, you know, I'm excited to be at Wright. Everything's good.
What's it been like working with Mike Munchak, and how has he impacted your game so far?
Oh, he's great, man. Mike's he's the greatest out there. You know, he treats us like pros, and it's easy to believe what he says because he played the game at such a high level, being a Hall of Fame and everything. So he's a great addition to us. He's helped my game a lot, and I know he's going to help it out even more. I think the guys tend to listen more to a coach that's played the game and been there. So the fact that he's done that, all the guys are like hanging on every word he says. So it's great for the room.
Is that a little intimidating to have a Hall of Famer as your position coach? You're like, oh, he did it really, really well.
Nah, I mean, I don't think it's intimidating at all. I mean, I don't think he expects all of us to be Hall of Famers. He know how hard he had to work and how special he was to be a Hall of Famer. He just wants us to be the best we could be and try to maximize our potential. And that's what he's doing. That's what he expects out of all of us. So it's going good.
What sort of impression has Dalton Reisner made on you so far?
Oh, he works his ass off. You know, I love him. He doesn't complain too much. He just comes to work. He always asks him questions. I like him because he wants to be great. You know, it's a lot of – you got a lot of young guys these days come in and think they got to figure it out and know it all. But he's the complete opposite. You know, he hits me up at night because we watch film. He asks me questions about things like that. So he's a great guy, great addition to the room.
There's a lot of debate about Von Miller's
pass rushing
summit.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys, a lot of offensive linemen get together in Dallas.
Where did
those, was it OL Masterminds?
Where did
those, like?
Oh, it's good. I think Von started doing here because we started doing ours first, but I ain't going to tell him that. But it's great. You know, some of the top linemen in the league come to it. This year we got a big crowd coming out as far as active players and Hall of Famers and guys that played it in the past. So I think it's going to be a great turnout. I think it's the weekend right before we report for camp. So I'll be there. It's going to be a good thing. Great for the league.
In Dallas?
Yeah, it'll be in Dallas.
What's it been like working next to Juwan so far?
It's good. Juwan's a pro. He's a pro's pro. And I think that's the biggest compliment you can give anybody. And, you know, he comes to work every day. He wants to be good. He knows that me and him got a lot of catching up to do working with each other. But, I mean, we both played the game a lot, so it won't be too hard. But I knew him before he got here, so I was ecstatic when we signed him. So it's good.
How much of the zone scheme they got here? I know you played it a lot with Dallas.
I love it. I mean, like you said, that's all we did in Dallas was run zone and doves, and that's kind of our staple here. So, I mean, it's getting back to what I did best when I was having my best years in the league. And so I'm excited about it.
How much has Connor McGovern really grown in that center role since getting thrust in late last year?
He's growing. He's growing every day. You know, center role takes on a lot of responsibility. You know, the center is kind of the quarterback of the offensive line. And he's, you know, he's still learning. You know, he hasn't played a ton of ball, but he's played enough. And he got a lot of responsibility on him. And if I know Connor the way I know him, he's up to the challenge, and he's been doing good so far.
You guys have kind of a 5-6 week break before camp after tomorrow. What do you personally want to get accomplished in that time?
I got a lot of personal goals. You know, it's a lot that I've been doing so much with recovery that a lot of little things I want to work on in my game that I'm going to really hit full speed in these 5 weeks. You know, I go back to Dallas. That's where my home is. And, I mean, I'm going to grind the whole time. You know, I mean, I've been rehabbing, so I can't really say I'm all beat up as much as some of these other guys. So I'm going to start working right away on those things I know I need to work on.
How'd your camp go a few days ago?
It was great. It was great. Had a good turnout. It was probably the best one yet. My man GB came out, you know, he showed some love. GB good with the kids. I didn't know he was that good with them kids. So they loved him, but it was great.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
There's Ron Leary out at the podium at UC Health Training Center. Don't know if we're going to get another player just yet. Maybe Philip Lindsay, so obviously we're going to stay tuned for that. Leary calling Garrett Bowles GB.
We assume that's who GB is.
Has to be,
good,
right?
With the kids.
GB.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and Leary doesn't seem too upset about the move back to right guard. He kind of knows.
No, he's a natural left guard. I think that's his best position, but I think he's probably seen Dalton Risner playing there when he's, you know, Ron Leary hasn't been healthy enough to practice up until last week. So I probably just put me wherever. And if Ron Leary can stay healthy and Juwan James is what we think he's going to be, and Connor McGovern can grow into the role of the center, with the makings of a pretty decent offensive line, which is a huge question mark going into the season, going right into training camp.
Right.
It's Ron Leary's health, because Wilkinson is more a tackle than guard, and I know he had got some experience last year at guard, but he's an important swing guy that can – you know, you'd only dress seven guys game day, so you need that depth, whereas Leary's a guard. That's it. There's no, he can't do both. He can't play tackle at all.
Here's Philip Lindsay at the podium.
It's been a while.
How frustrated, anxious are you to be out there and kind of watch everybody else practice?
Yeah, any injury is frustrating, but I'm anxious to be out there with my teammates. I see Book and Royce putting in a lot of work, and I want to be out there with them. I like the grind. I like being tired. I like the sweat, the blood, the tears. That's what I'm here for. So I can't wait to get back to that. Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm very close, you know, and it's going to come down to the head coach and our training staff to make the decisions. And, you know, I trust them. And for me, I'm going to be ready when it's time. Like, that's it. When they say it's time to go, if they say it's go today, I'll be ready. So I knew once, you know, the surgeon told me, you know, what it was going to be. It's always when you hear it, you're like, okay. But when you have to go through it, now it's like 4 months in, you're like, dang, you know, and now it's about to be 6 months. So it's a long process, but it's worth it. You know, you can't go out there and half injured, half healthy. Like, you're going against these grown men, and it's your livelihood. So you got to be okay, and they want to put me in the best situation to be able to make plays. And I want to be able to go the whole entire year, not half a year.
How thankful are you to have the medical staff here, going back to your high school days? You dealt with some serious injuries, but you didn't have this surgery.
Very thankful. They hold the reins back on you a lot, you know, make sure everything goes well, which you're supposed to. You know, you don't want to go out there and mess up by tripping or falling, something that, you know, is not supposed to happen. But I'm itching to be out there, and they know that. That's why they got to hold the reins on me so tight. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely can. I see it out there. You see the mistakes, so you get a mental rep on everything. And, you know, I still got my legs. You know, that's what people, you know, forget, is you can still go through the motions of things and run the routes and stuff. They just don't want me catching balls at the time and doing certain things like that. So the biggest thing is about being in shape in this offense. You got to be in shape. And I want to help my team win a lot of games, so I'm going to have to stay in shape.
Do you feel ahead of schedule with this thing? I mean, does it feel like you're...
I feel like I'm right on time. I feel like when they tell me it's time, I'm going to be ready, you know, and I'm confident. I'm confident in my abilities, and I'm ready to go out there and showcase.
What are your impressions of Joe Flacco?
He's a great man. He is. He's, you know, I haven't been here long enough, but I'll tell you this. Joe Flacco, he's always interacting with everybody in the locker room. You could tell he's a born natural leader. He's confident in his abilities, and he's been there. You know, he's been there. He's been to a Super Bowl, and I'm excited, you know, and he knows what he's doing, you know. And when it becomes a season, you know, you get turned up on. So it's a different feeling, and he's been through it, been through the fire, games in and out. So I'm excited about this season with him.
Is your approach to a leadership role changed now that you're entering your second year?
My approach is just to go out there and make plays. Being a leader means going out there and producing. You know what I mean? That's if you want people to get your attention, you want to get their attention and be able to have that leader role, you got to do it on the field. And so for me, it's about getting back on the field and showcasing that, you know, I'm ready to win football games. And that's it. You got to get trust back into it. You know, this Flacco has never been with me. He's seen me, heard about me, but now he has to trust me. And so now I got to go back and earn his trust. The brace. Yeah, you know, I've done it for a little while now, in and out. Just depends on, like, they have me put the brace on for certain things, lifting and things like that, just for caution. You know, like you said, you don't want to go and trip and fall something and hurt something doing something stupid, you know, so.
Catching the ball from the younger team, yeah. How's that feel?
It feels good. I feel really good, actually. So, like I said, when it's time, it's going to be time, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to showcase.
Are there specific areas?
Yeah, just be more patient with myself, more mature, picking up the blocking schemes. We got a whole different blocking scheme now, so it's learning that. And now it's about putting things together and knowing my role. You know, everybody has a role, you know, and, you know, if it's, you know, for me, it's about making big plays. So I got to go out there and I have to showcase that.
Got time for a couple more?
What did you think when they drafted Juwan Winfrey?
I was excited. You know, I was excited. Juwan's my dude. Actually, I got up here, I always did receiving routes from Juwan, actually. He's taught me a lot of certain things, fundamental things that I'll go back and actually will do over the summer. So it's good to pick receivers' brains, too, because in this office, we're almost like receivers in a way.
So your second year, you still have to prove you think that you can be a featured back?
I mean, you got to prove that every year. You know, it, like that's it, like this league stands for not for long, but you got to make it as long as you can, and that's by grinding every day. You know, and for me, it's just about going out there and earning this coach's respect. Now, you know, the whole coaching staff, my run back coach knows what I can do, but now it's about earning Coach Vangio, Coach Scandarello, all the respect, and I'll do that. That's the type of person I am, and I never run away from anything.
Last month, you know, a guy you gave that Pro Bowl run, you said he was doing. Good.
That's good.
Feel
it feels
that,
good.
He says, "Hey, thank you."
Yeah, it makes it feel good because this is I have an opportunity to do good things for young kids, for people that are in need. So that's what I'm gonna do, especially in my state, you know. And I don't ever want to see nobody hurting and stuff. So if I can help, I'm gonna help.
How involved will you be with your football camp? And
you'll yeah,
we'll be involved in where you hoping it'll end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. We'll see how it goes. First football camp for me. I'm excited for it. I want the kids to go out there, have fun, and compete, and just get after it. I'm gonna be out there interacting with them because that's what I do. I'm not gonna just sit there, you know. And I hope they learn a lot from the camp, you know. And we'll see. First camp. All right, y'all. Y'all take care.
There's Philip Lindsay. Always excited, chomping at the bit, ready to get back out there. Can't do it just yet. When will Philip Lindsay be ready? What do we know about this system and how different it is? And, well, what is Lindsay's role specifically? You may think you know it, but is it different? All that and more next on The Fan.